Hello, it's Wednesday, February 8th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Now, you know, Lisa, I love this country. I really love this country.
What went wrong now?
Well, if it wasn't, exactly. If it wasn't for how much I love this country, we wouldn't be doing what we do here every day. And a story I read yesterday that we posted on the Wing TV news updates yesterday broke my heart. You remember last year what happened in New Orleans, right?
How could I forget?
Katrina went down there, basically decimated about 80-85% of the city. Well, we know what happened in the days immediately following Katrina. It was just nothing but a bumble screw the whole way.
And on the part of the government, nothing happened.
Exactly.
They did nothing.
Now, George Bush, President Bush, had his State of the Union a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about how we're going to do everything humanly possible to rebuild this city. And the government has supposedly pledged billions of dollars.
To rebuild it for whom?
Yeah. Now, the mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin, came out in the last couple days, and he actually said now, because there's been such a lack of response, such a lack of results in New Orleans, that he's actually seeking now foreign aid to help build an American city. Can you believe that?
Foreign aid from which country? Israel, maybe?
No. No. What he's saying is that the French government and other French business leaders have passed through New Orleans. This was last Friday. And also Jordan's King Abdullah visited New Orleans last Friday. And both of them have stated that they have an interest in helping the mayor of New Orleans rebuild that city.
Wait a minute. Where did all the money go that was supposed to go to help rebuild New Orleans and Louisiana?
That's an excellent question. And you know what? I wish I had an excellent answer. And as a matter of fact, I have no answer for it.
Wait a minute. It's gone?
I don't know where it is, but this guy is saying that it's been how many months now and nothing is being done. Nothing. And Nagin went so far as to say that France can take Treme, the King of Jordan can take the lower Ninth Ward. I mean, he's saying this facetiously, I'm sure. But he's joking, saying, well, you know, France can take this quarter, Jordan can take that quarter. And
how much of a disgrace is this that they have to ask for aid from a foreign country because our own government won't give them the aid that was promised?
Right. This article, which was on a site called My Way, said that 5 months after the storm, New Orleans remains largely in ruins still. Now, it's been 5 months.
Who's in charge of doling out this aid?
I would imagine it's FEMA, wouldn't you imagine?
Oh, no.
Or is it Homeland Security?
No.
Who the hell knows? But billions have been pledged. And now I have to ask another question. If nothing is being done to rebuild New Orleans, how long have we been in Iraq? And
not
I
really
wonder how many billions and billions have been squandered over there. What did I say the other day, how much is being spent per minute in Iraq? Wasn't it something like $100,000 minute?
Yeah, but you know, you have to weigh the rate of destruction against the rate of rebuilding. And how much rebuilding can be getting done when they're destroying everything everywhere they go?
Yeah, they'll go in and rebuild a bridge, and next week it'll
blow it up.
Blown up again. So this was a sad day for America when a mayor of an American city seeks foreign aid to help him rebuild.
That's disgraceful.
It is. And, you know, if I was the Democrats, and I hate the Democrats as much as the Republicans, but if I was a Democratic Party, this would be like number one on the billboards for these upcoming midterm
elections.
What
are they waiting for? Are they waiting for a formal invitation?
Yeah, I mean,
get in there and rebuild it. Clean it up. Fix it up.
And the billions have already been pledged for this. You know, I mean, does everything go directly from the government vault to Halliburton's pocket? I mean,
it's taking the circuitous route to get to where it needs to go. Well, hopefully within our lifetime, it'll get where it needs to go.
I mean, I guess they just cut out the middleman, New Orleans, and just go straight from the government to Halliburton. You know, or
it's
maybe...
It's unbelievable.
It is. It really is. Now, south of New Orleans and Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, their president, is doing some saber-rattling himself. And what it's reminding me of, Lisa, is World War III. When we had World War II...
Is that all?
Yeah. I mean, in World War II, how many different arenas were we in? There was Pearl Harbor, which was part of America, was hit.
Mm-hmm.
There was wars in Africa, in Europe, in Japan.
Well, they like that multiple theater effect.
And it's starting to become a multiple theater now. Because, of course, we have the Middle East. We have Iraq and Iran and so forth. Then we have North Korea, South Korea.
But you know what? That's a PNAC objective.
Right.
Simultaneous wars in multiple theaters around the world.
Exactly. Then we have the invasion from Mexico and Central America. We have South America now with Chavez rattling his swords. And basically, what he's doing down there is he's saying that he's starting to jail American diplomats. And he also said that he might start shutting down the oil refineries his own country and cutting off America. Or, he said, instead of cutting them off, he'll just refuse to sell oil to America and sell it elsewhere. And he said...
More good news. Great.
Yeah, exactly. During a speech that he gave a couple weeks ago, here's what Chavez said. It would cost me nothing to order the closure of the refineries we have. And he says, then we'll see where the price of oil will go. Now, right now, in my opinion anyways, we're paying about $1.20 a gallon more than we should be, about double what we should be paying right now. And he said, Chavez said, it would cost me nothing to sell oil to other countries in the world. So what this is doing is just putting a stranglehold on our addiction.
Did he say the reason why he plans to do this?
Well, he's saying that the United States actually has diplomats in his country that are continuing to spy on his country. So they have a little tete-a-tete going on that certain diplomats in the United States from Venezuela are being thrown out and vice versa.
Is Venezuela on Bush's hit list?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Are they in line before or after Syria?
God only knows.
Oh,
God only knows. And now here's another thing, is that Chavez is saying that they want to start getting arms from other countries to start building up their military. And he said that he wants a 1 million man and woman army in his country. A 1 million man army. Now, what do you think of that?
And he's going to attack who?
I don't know. I guess he's getting ready, in his opinion, for an American invasion of Venezuela.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, so right now, the United States is trying to block Venezuela from buying arms from Brazil and from Spain, but they've received over 100,000 Russian AK-47s, and they want to buy more from these countries.
Jeez.
Now, we know that China's been visiting Venezuela and setting up contracts to buy their oil. And India also has. So from there, Venezuela is the fifth largest oil producer in the world. And they're basically saying that if we don't sell to America, we'll just sell whatever surplus is left over to these other countries because they're greedy for oil.
This thing is really starting to escalate.
It is. Well, it's becoming a multi-theater pre-war scenario. That's what it's becoming. And
I don't see how our troops can be coming home by the end of the year.
No.
Even a fraction of them.
Yeah. And now with this oil bourse, of course, in Iran, and we have installment number 8 today,
mm-hmm.
We have a couple more to go still. You can see how serious it's getting on that front, because what our Federal Reserve is going to do, I believe on March 25th of this year, is quit publishing their M3 money report.
Figures, right?
Yeah. Now, the M3 money report basically tells foreign nations how much U.S. currency is abroad? How much is in circulation?
Guess what? They don't want you to know that information anymore.
Right. And they said the reason why they're going to cut this off is that the cost of publishing these reports can't be justified.
Oh, okay. Well, what about all the Katrina money they're hoarding and sitting on?
With all the pork and all the graft and all the money they squander on a daily basis, they can't print these reports. And these reports...
Too much money.
Yeah. Are vital to foreign governments and foreign investors.
Liars!
Yeah. Because it lets them know how much of our money is there. Well, the reason, the real reason it's that they're not going to publish it is because if this Iranian bourse is introduced in March, other nations won't need as much of our money to buy oil with because they'll be able to use the euro. So this money is going to come flooding back out of these countries into America, and it's going to freak everybody out because...
If they publish those figures, then they're not going to be able to keep on trying to hoodwink you, saying the economy's doing great.
Right. And you're going to have all this money flooding back into America, which is going to cause inflation at the least, and hyperinflation if it really gets out of control. So what you're basically saying is by next month, you're no longer going to know how much money, how many dollars are in circulation overseas. And it's just another attempt to cover up what I think is the inevitable, is something horrendous is on the horizon.
This Chavez situation sounds like it should be taken care of soon. What are they planning on doing with him?
Well, see, here's the thing that... There's a lot of people in the alternative media that are looking to Chavez as some kind of hero. But I don't. I mean, I like his stance against the New World Order, against the international bankers and so forth. But in the last week or so, I posted something on the Wing TV news updates where Chavez gave a speech and he said, socialism or death. I mean, this guy is a far-left socialist. He hangs around with Fidel Castro. He's pushing socialism. And even though he bucks the New World Order, I don't put a lot of credence in a guy that's saying socialism or death because I don't want socialism.
Right. I know some of the people who watch Wing TV and listen to the radio show are socialists and think we're too patriotic, too nationalistic. And that we should be more leaning towards socialism. But Victor and I are against socialism.
Yeah, and here's what it is. You can try to define the world any way you want to. But right now, the true battle in the world is globalism versus nationalism. That's what it comes down to. And in this country here, there's people like Pat Buchanan and so forth that want a strong nationalistic base. That's what I want. Nationalism means instead of sending all of our money overseas in via foreign aid, that's an element of globalism or internationalism, we want to keep our money here in America.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Another element of globalism or internationalism is having open borders or no borders. That means something like CAFTA, NAFTA, the FTAA. A nationalist says, close off our borders.
Absolutely.
Now, what do you want? Open borders or closed borders? I mean, these are all, and we could keep going on and on with this, but it comes down to you're either an internationalist like Bill Clinton was, George Bush Jr. and Sr., and on and on and on, or you're a nationalist where you want to have a strong country. You take care of your own first. That's what nationalism
is. That's right. Too much of our money's been going outside of our country for way, way too long, and it's still happening.
Yeah.
How about leaving some at home? You know, we have people in New Orleans who are still waiting. Yeah. Still waiting.
I mean, I think the whole thing where they're saying billions of dollars has been pledged to New Orleans, I think the whole thing is a ruse. I don't think there's any money going to New Orleans.
A whole bunch of blips have been pledged.
Yeah, a bunch of blips, really. Now, here's another thing we have to clarify, Lisa, is that on Daryl Smith's show yesterday, him and Eric were being critical of us here on Wing TV, and they said, oh, well, these people talking about us, they speak out against the Zionists, and it's good that they do that. But what they also do is they say that Zionism is only one tentacle of the New World Order, that there's also all these other tentacles going out. And they're saying that
they said something about the Vatican, that we say that it's the Vatican behind it. We've never said that.
No, we've never said that. What we say here on this show is that when you look at the New World Order, there's many tentacles coming out from it. Now, do you think...
different groups working together towards the same objectives.
And we say that the international bankers are at the very top of this control pyramid. Of course, the international bankers are made up of the Zionists.
Right.
You have the Rothschilds and so forth, the Lehmans and the Kuhns and the Loebs and so forth. At the top of this pyramid is the Jewish banker cabal. But to think that this whole New World Order is just a monolithic type of thing, only one element to it, is very naive and very simplistic, because if you look through history, or if you look at books like Jim Marr's Rule by Secrecy, mm-hmm. if you look at The Unseen Hand and so forth, all of these books, you'll see that all of these various elements, the Freemason and the Vatican and the Jesuits, are all working in unison. You have the secret societies, you have the intel agencies. They're all a part of
this. I don't
think
they would have achieved the success and made as much progress as they have if they had only been working solely. Right. Working together, they have more power and influence.
And here's a perfect example, a way to think about it. Years ago, when I was living in L.A., I knew a guy that was embezzling money from a company that he worked for, okay? Now, to make sure that he didn't get busted doing this, the people that were closest to him around him, mm-hmm. he cut them in on the action.
Right, so they wouldn't
rat him out and so forth. So even though he got the majority of the money, all of the people around him either took him out for dinners, bought him beer, got him little presents. He bought them off.
Right.
And if he wouldn't have done that, they would have at some point turned on him and busted him.
Right.
So that's the same analogy as the way the New World Order works. If it was completely monolithic, if there was only one element, the Zionists in control of it.
Yeah, you've heard this before.
Yeah.
One hand washes the other.
Right. So if people start saying that it's just solely one thing, and by us saying this doesn't mean that we're an apologist for the Zionists, because we're absolutely not. What we're doing is we're looking at the world realistically, and here's a good example.
And I don't know how anybody could say that anyway.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's foolish. If you look at our presidents and administrations since the 1960s, you'll see who is really calling the shots, how they use these various factions. During the Kennedy administration, you had that whole Bay of Pigs cabal,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was doing the dirty work. They're the ones that ended up killing Kennedy. Then, when Nixon came in, you had the plumbers that were doing the dirty work. With Jimmy Carter, it was the Trilateral Commission that was set up by Brzezinski and David Rockefeller. Then, with Reagan and Bush, that administration, you had Oliver North and that little
uh-huh.
cabal. Then when Bill Clinton came in, the Dixie Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
And now with George Bush Jr., you have the neocons. So you see, there's all of these different tentacles that all go back to the head of the octopus. But it can't be seen as something monolithic, because you can't use the same type of people to do the dirty work
every
in China.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so if you go into a socialist country, you're not going to use the same kind of forces as you would use in Europe.
Absolutely.
Or as you would,
that
you know,
makes sense.
Or in Japan or China. So when they say these things, be wary, because it's a very, I guess it would be likened to a one-trick pony. And one-trick ponies don't win many races, do they?
No, they don't.
You know, so be wary of that. And
I don't know why they want to keep insisting that it's just one group. Is it so implausible and inconceivable and beyond the stretch of imagination that you could have multiple groups and forces working in conjunction with one another to pull off the biggest deception imaginable?
Right. And if you look at the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, this was done by the Jesuits. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But if you look at the USS Liberty, that was done by Israel and the Zionists.
Uh-huh.
So there's different dirty work for different groups.
They all have
groups.
Different roles and functions,
right.
And purposes and parts to play.
Yeah. And still, though, don't forget that at the top of this is the international bankers, the Jewish money interests. That's the head of the octopus, but there's many tentacles coming off of it. And that's all we're trying to say here. So don't let people misconstrue what we're trying to tell you.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to know what we say, just listen to what we say.
That's right.
Don't get it from the third parties, because for some reason, things seem to get twisted and lost in the translation.
Yeah, that's right. So now tomorrow, we're going to have Mr. Mark Glenn on our show.
That's going to be good.
Yeah, and we always look forward to his appearances. If
yes,
you want to see Mark's latest articles, go to the Wing TV homepage, to the right-hand column all the way to the bottom, and his site is called Crescent and Cross. And we're going to be talking about what's going on, not only in the Middle East, but in America and so forth. And he's one of the most intelligent, one of the just the most well-versed
people. Ultra-perceptive.
Yeah. I mean, he was the one that really gave us the final insights to our show last Friday about what's going on in the Middle East. So we're very much looking forward to that.
And it was good having Peter Shank on the show, too. We'll
it
have
was.
To have him back on soon, too.
Yeah, exactly. And one last thing is, and we're going to talk about this more today, but we'll get to it here, is doesn't it seem like, Lisa, there's a new wave emerging in the alternative media? It's like people are getting sick and tired of the money grubbers from the past. You know, they've seen these people around for 10 years now, and they've seen that absolutely nothing has been accomplished except putting a lot of money in their pockets. And with, you know, the emergence of people like Mark Glenn,
Michael Collins Piper,
you have Sam and Trish Britton, you have Wing TV, you have these other factions out there, independent media, you have this new scholars.
It's like a breakaway from
right.
the big network
That's
type
right.
venues.
Yeah.
And as you can see with the big network type venues, they have a lot of problems in
right.
these places.
Yeah, and what they do is they serve as a containment operation.
They mirror the mainstream media.
That's right. And you have this new Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which is now effectively made 9/11truth.org, the gatekeepers, obsolete. They no longer matter.
We're hoping to see some action behind
yep.
this new 9/11 scholars group, not
right.
just lip service and talking. We want to see them push it forward even farther, because writing articles and giving speeches is not enough.
That's right. And we're going to have an article on Friday that really shows how this old media is just so corrupt. These people that have been around forever, Art Bell and Jeff Rantz and Alex Jones, is they're all working together. They're all a little cabal. You notice that the person that's always on George Norrie is Alex Jones. They're a cabal to keep everybody contained in a little box, just like the mainstream media does. And what we're showing with this new media, this new independent media, is we're breaking away from them. And you know what? They can't control us. They absolutely can't control us. And we just saw what happened with Daryl Smith and Eric Hufschmid, how they blew GCN out of the water, just exposed them for what they are.
It's good that Daryl's away from GCN, but I would like to see Daryl just be for real for once and get off the soapbox and start telling all of the truth instead of some truth here and some lies here and some truth here and some backwash here.
And I sent an email both to Daryl Smith and Eric Hufschmid yesterday explaining how I wasn't an Ashkenazi Jew. I'm not an Ishkabibel Jew.
If you were an Ashkenazi Jew, you wouldn't even be with me.
I know. Exactly. So I want to see now, I basically called them out and said, you better come on your show and issue a retraction, because what you're doing is doing nothing but speaking 100% lies. And if they do that, it'll show then that they still have credibility.
Right. And we urge you to email Daryl
right.
and Eric and challenge them to issue a retraction, because Victor is absolutely not an Ashkenazi Jew. He's not any kind of Jew.
I don't even know what they
and
are.
Neither am I.
Yeah. And Daryl's email is iamthewitness@hotmail.com. Drop him a line and say, Daryl, it's time to come clean. So anyway, tomorrow we're going to have Mr. Mark Glenn on to talk about what's going on in the world. Until then, folks, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.